And I want to use them to answer a question this morning, which is simply, how are you going to change the world? How are we going to change the world? Because issues of change are really on our minds this week, aren't they? If the polls are correct, our nation is so keen for change that the Conservatives are going to receive a very sound beating when the country votes. But who knows? There have been unexpected results before, haven't they? And whatever your political views, I think we can agree that we live in very uncertain days. And we feel the need for things to be changed very acutely in all kinds of ways. And so he said, whatever the outcome of the election, the question is, will the promises of the politicians bring about the changes that we most need to see? With all the uncertainty that there is in the world at the moment, will it really make a difference? Is this the hope of our nation as we vote this week? Because you see, here in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus is speaking to people who are asking very similar questions. The recurring theme throughout this chapter, which we just read the first little bit, is the kingdom of heaven. We saw in our reading, he says in verse 11, where he says, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. This is what I'm talking about, he says, the kingdom of heaven. And there was a lot of talk about the kingdom of heaven in first century Palestine. Jesus' hearers' ears, would have pricked up when they heard someone who people were saying could be the Messiah start talking about God's kingdom, because the kingdom of God was what they were longing for. The kingdom of God was what was going to change everything. It was how the world was going to be made better as far as they were concerned. And they thought they knew what the kingdom of God was about. They were well up. It was all about kicking the Romans out of Palestine, establishing a free, successful, powerful nation of Israel again. So to talk about the kingdom of God, or as Matthew prefers in his gospel, the kingdom of heaven, was, they presumed, to be part of their kind of make Israel great again movement, which I'm sure had their own sort of meager baseball caps and all that kind of thing on sale in Jerusalem. Now, you see, Jesus has a lot to say about the kingdom of heaven and about changing the world, especially in his parables. And so since we're beginning a new series in these parables, let's begin by thinking a bit more generally about why and how Jesus uses them before focusing in on this particular one. So we have that little section in our reading, kind of between the parable and its explanation, where Jesus talks about these things. Let's look at something of the purpose of parables here. Well, as Simon said just before, if you're new to the Bible, then parables are very simply these little stories that Jesus tells, drawn from everyday occurrences that would have been familiar to everyone, and using them to teach about spiritual truths. They were about the ordinary. They were about fishing. They were about family relations. They were about sheep. They were about losing money. They were about finding something valuable. In this case, it was about something that most people would have been involved in at some time or other, planting crops. But don't be fooled, because the parables are more than just nice little stories. And the issue is this: they were commonly not understood or misunderstood. Perhaps they're especially misunderstood by people who think they know what Jesus is all about. And I'm sure we've all been in situations where you've said something to someone, but they have heard what they want to hear rather than what you actually said. If you're a parent, I guarantee you've had this experience. Okay, on multiple occasions, it will have been said to you, but you said, no, I said you could have some sweets, not the entire bag. I said we would go there if we had time, Not that we were definitely going. I said I would check out that video game to see if it was suitable. I didn't say, yes, you could play it. They haven't really listened to what I said. They've heard my words through the filter of their own expectations and their own hopes. And that is certainly not something limited to children either. Adults do it all the time too. And maybe this is the biggest danger that we have as we listen to Jesus' teaching and to his parables this summer. We think we know what Jesus is about, and so we hear him in a way that fits our expectations. So if what's topmost in our minds is this week it's the state of society, well, actually, we'll hear Jesus, we're inclined to hear Jesus' teaching as though it's teaching social justice, that we must change everything, or social conservatism, that we must hold on to our traditions, whatever our political leanings are. Some people hear Jesus as like the ultimate rebel, standing for the common man, sticking it to all those in power. Others hear him as basically saying, you know, buckle down, tidy your room, fulfill your responsibilities. Some will assume that if you listen to Jesus, you've got to vote for the left. Some will assume you've got to vote for the right. Many, many people seem to hear Jesus as though he was simply saying, just do your best. Be nice. And if you've lived a good life, that's enough. And all of those ways of hearing Jesus are like the way that our children listen to us at times. Hearing some of the key words that we like and then fitting them into our own hopes and goals. But if we are listening, if we are really listening to Jesus, we should expect him, whatever our position, because he doesn't fit nicely into any of our categories, we should expect him to be challenging our assumptions. Not just on politics, but on everything. Even if you've been a Christian for years and you can reel off the four types of soil in this parable in your sleep, because you see, there's a very real warning in this passage, isn't there? The very real possibility of fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy that's quoted here in verse 14, that when you hear what I say, you will not understand, and when you see what I do, you will not comprehend. And why is it that we're prone to be like this? Verse 15, for the hearts of these people are hardened, and their ears cannot hear. If we come to God, come to his word, already knowing what we want, if we come set in our ways and not actually prepared to submit to Christ in what he says, our hearts are hard. And we need to know the outcome of that. If that is the attitude that we bring to God, the end of verse 15, their eyes cannot see, their ears cannot hear, their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me so they can be healed. To let me heal them, rather. You see, we need our hearts to be healed by Jesus Christ. That's what we most need. We don't need him to be co-opted into our ideas. We need to be healed by him. So the question is, as we begin this series, in the parables, will you listen? Will you really listen? Because you see, the parables act as not just as illustrations, they act as a kind of filter. Some people hear them and think, oh, wonderful stories. I love listening to them. But nothing else happens. Augustine, one of the great church fathers, said it was kind of like having a beautiful manuscript. It was beautiful, old, illuminated manuscript, except it's written in a language that you don't understand. You can love looking at it, but it means nothing to you. You can't understand it. But the parables will draw some people in, not everyone. They will draw in those who want to know more, to really understand what Jesus is saying. And that's why we pleaded in our last song that we would see Jesus truly in his words. We don't just want this to be listening to a nice story. We don't want it to be drawing our own conclusions from that story. We want to see Jesus as he really is. And to really hear, we need the gift of the Holy Spirit. Verse 11 describes the disciples' privilege there. It says, you are permitted, a more literal translation is, it has been given to you to understand the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to others, others are not given that. We need to be given the Holy Spirit. You may remember we talked to the children about that a couple of weeks ago. This is the gift that God gives freely to all who ask for it. He loves to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him to open their eyes, and open their ears to the riches of God's word to us. So that those who listen to my teaching, there's more understanding will be given. And they will have an abundance of knowledge. But for those who are not listening, this is verse 12, even what little understanding they have will be taken away from them. So there's a great responsibility put on us as we come to God's word today and week in and week out. Should we just pause a moment and in quiet individually seek God's gift of the Holy Spirit so that we may be those who receive more of his word, and not those who lose even what we've been given. Let's just take a moment for personal prayer. As we come to the parable itself then, I want to think about fruitful hearing. Now, I've been trying to up my gardening game this year. I've put a lot of new plants in, and I'm paying more attention to how they're all doing. I've got an app. I can take a picture of a plant, and it tells me what it is, what I need to do with it, how big it's going to get, all that. It's wonderful. One thing I've noticed is that the same kind of plant behaves differently in different places. My mock orange finished flowering weeks ago, but there's one just around the corner from us that's still going. I've put a few hebes in my garden. One of them that I put in my back garden is flourishing. Look, it's covered with flowers. I put a very similar one in the front garden. In fact, it's been there longer. It's just sat there. That's almost exactly the same as it was when I put it in 2 years ago. It's not doing anything. I've got a third one that's kind of somewhere in between the two. You see, the soil and the surroundings make all the difference, don't they? And this parable, although it's called the parable of the sower, it's all about the soils, isn't it? The thing that changes is the soil in each circumstance. The sower goes out to sow his field, and he scatters the same seed across the whole field, but depending on what kind of soil it lands on, the outcome is different. The seed is what Jesus calls in verse 19, the message about the kingdom. The message about the kingdom. It's the good news that Jesus brings. It's the word of God to us. And so he wants us to ask ourselves very seriously, well, how is my hearing? How is my hearing? And as he goes through the soil types in this parable, Jesus is kind of giving us a little hearing test. So how is your hearing? As we listen, we need to be asking serious questions about the state of our own hearts. Can I identify problems in my own hearing that I need to address as Jesus takes us through these scenarios? Okay, then, first of all, you've got the path running down the side of the fields. People have been walking that path for years. The soil is solid, it's compacted down. Nothing is going to go in there. So the seed doesn't go in at all, it just sits on the surface, which is great news for the birds. And Jesus says, you see, for some people, when they hear God's word, when the Bible is preached, or when they're reading it, or when someone explains it to them, nothing happens. Nothing happens. It's like water off a duck's back. And because there's no receptivity to it, it's an easy thing for Satan to distract them from it in such a way that that message is simply lost. It's snatched away. So let me ask you to ask yourself, could that be you? Could that be you? You see, God's word should sometimes feel like a sword cutting into our very being. Sometimes it should feel like a hammer breaking into our lives. But it's possible that maybe you come along and you love being a part of things here. But actually, the message of the Bible doesn't touch you from the moment you walk out on a Sunday lunchtime till the time you come back the next Sunday. It doesn't make any impact at all. It doesn't shape your life in any way. It doesn't turn your heart to trust in Jesus in any way. And if so, you see, Jesus' hearing test here is a huge warning to you. You are not hearing him. You are not hearing the voice of Jesus. Satan is simply able to snatch it away from you, and you are left without any relationship with him. The second stage in Jesus' hearing test is to check for rocky soil hearts. Now, the rocky soil is not like, when I think of rocky soil, I think of all the stones I have to dig out of the ground. What Jesus is talking about is what you've got here in the picture, where you've only got a very shallow depth of soil before you hit the bedrock. Now, that soil on the top looks promising, because as the sun shines down on there, because there's only a shallow depth, it warms the soil quickly. The seed loves that. It begins to sprout. And this is the person who hears the good news of Jesus enthusiastically. It sounds great. Count me in. It's a bit like perhaps when someone at the office says, "Got a great idea. Let's do the Ipswich Half Marathon and raise loads of money for charity." And I was like, "Oh, yeah, that sounds great. Fantastic, fantastic. Yeah, let's do it." But if you've had to go out running in the heat we've had this week, or it's dark and pelting down with rain and you have got up early because you've got to do your training, the pool of runners starts to dwindle quite rapidly. You see, the sun doesn't just warm the soil, but as it carries on beating down and turns into the dry season, well, these seedlings aren't going to last because they're going to need deep roots to survive that. But this is a shallow response of excitement, not of deep commitment to Jesus Christ. Because you see, following Jesus is often tough. Following Jesus is tough. The Bible talks a lot about the challenges of being in God's kingdom. Christians are often hated and attacked by the world, it says. So you see, if you're here just because it makes you feel good, gives you a good feeling, or it seems like a lovely idea, Jesus is saying you haven't yet heard. You haven't actually understood who he really is and what it means to be his follower. Beware of the rocky soil heart. As we carry on in Jesus' hearing test, we come to the thorny soil. As your front lawn has ever got to that stage, the soil looks promising, but there's so many other things waiting in that soil to spring into life too. So you see, although the kingdom seems to be taking root in someone's life, there seems to be seeds of faith there, encouraging shoots are seen. All too often, other kinds of desires, other priorities in life are growing up like weeds around it. They're choking the tender plants of spiritual growth. That needs to be dealt with. In that Hebe that I showed you, that's covered in flowers, I had to go out with my secateurs this week. You may notice there's some ivy just behind it. It's covering some really ugly stonework. And the ivy was starting to evade and tangle its way through the plant. If I just left it, I'd probably end up with one less plant in the garden. So you see, if you're here and you're quite attracted to Jesus and his message, but there's always something else you just want to do first. There's always something else that's just a bit more attractive to you. It's perhaps something you just want to get this settled before perhaps you do that Christian Explored course, or you'll do it next term, or once the children have got a bit older, or once you've finished your course, or once you've changed your job, or whatever it is. Then Jesus says, watch out. Watch out. Or if you think it'd be great to follow Jesus, but you're just aware of this tug of war in your heart, conflicting priorities, because actually you don't think you could give up that for Jesus. He's thinking specifically here, he says in verse 22, about what he calls the worries of this life. There's so many other things that I want to put first, and the lure of wealth, the desire to accumulate, to be better off, to have more. He says, he's warning you, you're in danger of failing his hearing test. Instead of actually hearing the word of God in such a way that it transforms your heart and life, you simply think it's a lovely idea that you never quite got round to properly. But then, of course, there is the good soil heart too. And that's the place where the seed of God's word, it's truly heard, so that it takes root in an environment where it can grow up, where it can do what it was designed to do, because, of course, the whole point of planting crops is to reap the fruits of it, isn't it? Whether that's 30, 60, 100-fold, you notice whatever it is, it's all a genuine thing. There isn't performance-related pay. What Jesus cares about is it's the real thing, not how successful you are in getting a great yield. So are you here this morning with a heart that hears Jesus' call? It says, come, follow me. Leave your sin and your old life. Live for me. Be a part of my kingdom. And your heart says, yes. You know, there's no uncertainty in your mind. You're going to vote who you're going to vote for. You're going to vote for King Jesus. Maybe you haven't worked out who you want to vote for on Thursday yet, but you know that much. Yes, you'll take Jesus. On Thursday, you've got to weigh up all the various pros and cons, the politics, the policies, and the people. But with Jesus, there's just no rivals. And when Jesus speaks through his word, you want to know what he's got to say, because you want to make it the bedrock of your life. You want to give your all to him. These are the people who Jesus says passes his hearing test. Which of those best describes where you are right now? Where are you in danger? They're urgent questions that we each need to answer for ourselves. Okay, but we perhaps seem to have gone a long way from where I started, because I started thinking about the needs of the world, of our country, of our expectations, how we're going to change all this. What has this got to do with that? Well, vote for change is one of the slogans we've got at the moment. I think it's a slogan that some party seems to have at every election. It's Labour this time. I think it was the Tories in last time. Someone's always saying, vote for change. But for all that this week's election does matter, it has its proper place, it won't change the world. You want real change? Remember Jesus' theme in this chapter, the kingdom of God. He's saying, look, you want to see the world change. Did you know how it gets changed? He says. This is how it happens. This is how it happens. So you see, ask the Holy Spirit to fertilize and to compost your heart until it is truly good soil. Because that is the only power that will ever deliver lasting change in all that matters most in a world that is in rebellion against the kingdom of God. Aren't we so deeply aware of the impact of sin all around us as we hear the headlines day in and day out? We need to plead that our own hearts would be good soil, that they will be transformed by the power of God's word brought to us by his Spirit. And then we take that message out too, so that we begin to see it taking root in other hearts too. So you see, yes, cast your vote on Thursday, but do so without any fear of the future or any unrealistic hope that this is a solution that's going to make everything better. Because actually, there is something far, far, far more significant that you've already done. And that's you turned up here this morning to hear God's word being proclaimed. Of all the things you could be doing today, this is by a million miles the most significant thing. I know it doesn't feel like that, but it is. Because this is the power that God uses by his Spirit to change the world. Now, it doesn't feel very significant when you make time to turn to your Bible day by day and hear God's voice speak into your life and circumstances, but it is. We keep coming back to God's words that we may put down deep roots, asking the Holy Spirit, show us Christ. Shape us to become more like him. And those are the ordinary steps that we take that are far, far more powerful than they look. And we pray that God will be doing the same in others around us as he's doing in our own hearts, whether they're Christians, whether they're non-Christians. And that is what will change the world, because that is how the kingdom of God grows. You know, it's interesting that even secular historians and intellectuals in our culture are beginning to spot that. You know, one of the reasons that historians think that England didn't have a revolution like France in the 18th century with all the bloodshed and the horrors that brought with it is because actually in England, there was a revival called the Great Awakening. Thousands upon thousands of people across the nation became Christians. And that so changed the temperature in the nation that it spared us the bloodshed that they experienced in France. Now the sort of, you know, the new atheism of 20 years ago is sort of dying out as clearly a daft idea. The God delusion and all that sort of thing. Blamed everything bad that ever possibly thought of. Well, if it's bad, it's obviously to do with religion. And now, instead, there's a growing number of intellectuals saying, hang on, we've just realized all the things that we know value the most, human dignity, the importance of fairness, justice, human rights, where have all those things come from? They suddenly realize it's come from Christianity seeping into our culture over centuries. Now, those are just the side effects of the kingdom growing, spreading without them even noticing very often. And that is what has changed the world. So Jesus here, as you see, they thought they knew what was needed in their country. And maybe some of us have strong political views about what's needed this week as well. And usually, we focus on what needs to change out there and how those other people over there need to be brought into line, don't we? But remember this, Jesus builds his kingdom here just one brick at a time, one transformed life at a time by the power of his word as his Spirit opens hearts and ears to truly hear. And each transformed life changes the world that little bit more. Will you be fruitful in the way you hear? Will you be barren? Will the kingdom flourish in you, or will it wither? Because that's how we change the world. Let's take a moment just to respond individually to this incredible parable before we sing again.